who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 27th, 1998. Thanksgiving, a teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee are the teachers of the afternoon.
Those of you who weren't here yesterday and this is your first time today, this is Brother Jim Coffey from Millington, Tennessee, and he and his wife minister a little church over there, and in between times why they do a little bit of deliverance.
Yes, amen. And I'm not going to be the one that ministers. I came up to say a word, though. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it'll pierce even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word works. What I want to tell you is the word works. We have been in the ministry now 19 years, I believe it is. We'll be 19 years the first of the year. How did a working man ever come to something like this happen? We got turned under the Lord one time at a meeting. My wife first, and then myself. We've been in church all of our life. I have been in church all of my life, and my wife most of her life. I don't know what she was before we married. We came from different parts of the country. But I was always church, and I was in a denominational church that had a very definite doctrine, and it's hard to unlearn some of the things you learned as a child and things that are preached to you all of the time in church. And I found that some of those things did not completely line up with the Word of God, and I've had to change some of the way I think and the way I act over the years. But how did we happen to do this? Friends of ours led my wife into through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I saw a change in her. I knew that I needed a change in my own life, and within a few months, I followed her into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, before this, we had been to a meeting, and we were saved. There's no doubt in my mind about that, and we were ordained at that meeting, and I was thinking in terms of an ordination of helps for the ministry, to wherever I could work and to supply a need for ministers and for people that had needs, that this is what the Lord was calling me to. And later, after we'd received the baptism, we ministered at prayer meetings. People would ask us to come and speak at prayer meetings. And there was one fairly near to us, and we spoke several times there. And they formed a church from that prayer meeting. And they asked us to come sit in at the time that they did it. And I don't know why. And we still don't know why they wanted us in there to at the ordination of that church to begin it. But we were there, and they called a pastor. And he had other things on his mind. He wanted to make money, and he was a photographer. And he left the church, his wife in charge of the church, and it fell apart. And they asked my wife and myself to come on Saturday afternoon after Christmas, the week after Christmas, to come help them set the church back up again so this could not happen again. And I'll not go through all that had happened, but the way that it was torn apart, that it would never happen again. And we went and we sat in and put our 2 cents worth in. And we were trying to get away to a full gospel business meeting, which was about 70 miles away from us. And we kind of rushed it along, and I told him, I said, well, let's get through. We need one more thing. You've got to have a group to find you a minister. Oh, no, said, we've already done that. We're going to call you and your wife. And that's how we were called to the church. Now, I don't want to stop here because we were headed for a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Friend of ours who had prophesied much was ahead of that president of that chapter. We got over there and we waited in the building in the room where it was supposed to be in the cafeteria, and they didn't show up. Nobody showed up. So the lady in the charge of the cafeteria said, you want to call these people and find out what's happening? The room set up. And I did, and they said, well, it was canceled. The meeting was canceled. I said, come on out to my house. He said, no, you don't know where I live. I'll come down there. So the president of the chapter came down to the restaurant, and we ate and were finishing eating when he came in. And they were going to close, so we went into a restaurant on the outside of the mall because the mall would close. And we went in so we could stay longer. And my wife said to him, said, I have to have a word from the Lord from this call that they had placed on us because we'd never considered ministering as pastors. Stroked his chin a little bit and looked at her, and he said, Mildred, the Lord has given you a ministry. I would like it unto a pair of high-top black boots, handmade, beautiful, fit for your feet, that fit perfectly on your feet. And for 45 minutes, he compared her ministry to this pair of boots. I didn't know there was that much to describe about a pair of boots, but he did it in relation to that pair of boots. Now, he didn't know. We didn't tell him anything about what had happened earlier in the day. He didn't know we were called to preach that afternoon. And when after about 45 minutes of talking, he turned around and he said, Jim, you're a called pastor. I would liken the ministry. He said, do you know the story of Tom Sawyer? He said, well, your ministry is that raft. He said, it don't look like much. He said, it's a bunch of logs just tied together. But I want to tell you something about this raft. You can't sink it. It is serviceable. It'll do everything that you need it to do. It is that's necessary to do. But one thing about it, you can't change directions. It'll only go downstream. You can't push it back upstream because it's too big and too heavy. But as long as you stay in the raft, everything is okay. In other words, God is taking care of you for as long as you stay on the raft. We tape part of that ministry. We have never once ever played that tape back. I don't think we would ever be able to find the tape in my home. And I say that to tell you this. We do not live by prophecy. Amen. That's not where it's at. Amen. We live by the Word of God. Amen. Now, I've had untold prophecies over me in this place right here, and I appreciate them. But I will never move a finger to make a prophecy come to pass. And if God's not behind it, it's not worth anything anyhow. And that was my message to you today, is that the Word is alive and powerful, and there are prophets in this land that are bringing forth the Word. We have had other prophecies, as I've said, and that have come true. Had a lot of them that did have not yet come true. And again, we do not live by that, but I trust the Lord and His Word. And I want you to do the same thing, not just on prophecy. I want you to begin to trust the Word of God for every situation in your life, because the Word works.
Amen.
It will work. It'll work every... Do you know that the Word works every time?
Amen.
Somebody said that there's 33,000 promises in the Bible. I don't know that. I've never counted them. Don't want to count them. But however many there are in there, did you know that every one of them will work?
Amen.
Every time you meet the condition that is attached to the promise.
Amen.
And we like to take the Word of God and read it, and we find a promise, and we say, that's mine, I stand on it, and disregard what God says that makes that promise work.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, today, learn what that condition is and walk in it and watch God work in your life. Because it is real, it is alive, and it is powerful. And God loves you so greatly. God loves you so much. He will move everything that He has to move to get you to walk with Him. Now, He won't go against your will. You've got a will, and He won't go against that. But as we will follow after the Lord and move in His Word, He will meet you where you are, and He will bring to pass His Word in your life if you will walk with Him. This is what I want to tell you today. Now, I know most of us are, maybe all of us are saved people. But you know, we have not reached perfection yet. Not one of us has ever reached perfection. We have yet room in our life to move to make this Word come to pass. And where that is lacking in our life, I'm asking you today, I'm looking at myself, and I ask you to look at yourself and say, where do I stand today with the Lord? Am I walking where God really wants me to walk? Am I fulfilling His Word in my life? And if there are vacancies there, let's do something about them today. And let's begin to fulfill all that God has for us.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. He didn't tell you that as a woman coming out of the Baptist church, when they called us into the ministry, the Lord told me before we went to that meeting they were going to call him. But he didn't tell me they were going to call me, because I wouldn't have gone. Because I came out of the Baptist church, and women just didn't do that. But we did everything else. Praise the Lord. Well, I told Jim this morning when Sister Mildred got up and began to speak, I said, she just preached my sermon. So I'm going to reinforce what the Lord gave her this morning. We talk about warfare. We were doing warfare, taking back what the enemy is taking from us and all of this. And so this afternoon, I want to talk to you about doing the Word.
Amen.
Doing warfare. You know, I firmly believe in binding and loosing. I firmly believe when I pray to pray the Word. I stand on the Word and I believe the Word and I pray the Word. And so I want to share this afternoon, and I think I titled this, Rulers to Bind in the Heavenlies. But I want to also tell you to bind these rulers in you. You see, we're not perfect people, and we need to take authority. You know, one of the ladies came up and asked me of something about ministering to someone that had a problem that she knew about. This was after the services upstairs, and I told her I would give her some information on it down here in the service. You know, we have authority to bind our kids. We have authority to bind ourselves. And you don't need binding? My goodness, I didn't know everybody was perfect. But I'm telling you, I bind me all the time. And I bind him too if I can. I mean, if he's around. And he binds me. Listen, I'm thankful.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you go to getting angry at somebody. You see, what I really believe is that we know a lot of things, we don't do them, and God wants us to start doing it. We say, we're doing warfare. Well, when do you do it? Once a year, once a week, once a month, or all during the day, whenever God brings something to you, memory to do. So I'm going to start off with telling you where you are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I know it. Well, I'm going to remind you, okay? Go to Ephesians, if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and all the works of the enemy. And Father, I take that authority because Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is loose. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take my authority and I bind the spirits of unbelief and doubt. I bind harassment. I bind spirits that interfere with our hearing in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for that authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that because of him, we have authority over the enemy, and that you want us to walk, Father, as overcomers and not as defeated people. And Father, we just thank you this afternoon that you've given us ears to hear you by the Spirit, and you've given us eyes to see what you're saying in your word, and you've given us a heart to receive your word, Father. And we praise you and give you glory this afternoon, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. We thank you for every promise in the book that it is mine, and I receive it and believe it, and Lord, with your help, I walk in it in Jesus' name. And we praise you and give you glory. Amen and amen. In Ephesians in chapter 1, we see in verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I want to use these scriptures in Ephesians just to remind you, and the brother said it last night, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We, as believers, have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and we need to take that authority and walk in it and believe it. And the only way that it works for you is when you believe it. You know why I pray the Word when I'm praying, when I come before the Father to ask to put a petition or to pray over someone, and I want to quote what the Scripture says? Because that Word builds faith in me.
Amen.
as I pray. Because I know the words of heaven and earth will pass away, but God said His word would endure forever. And I hope I have time to go into all these spirits the Lord had given me to show you. But I want to tell you about your authority. I want to remind you of it. I see people that say, well, I know that. And I want to say, well, bless God, are you doing it? And over in Ephesians and further over in verse same chapter, and Paul is praying here, this prayer of Paul's. I prayed these prayers of Paul's for years. But this part of it I want you to see. In verse 19 he said, and what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. It's what we believe that the word says that works for us. I can't make my husband believe in deliverance. By the way, he didn't like deliverance. He wanted no part of it. He wanted a healing ministry. And God gave him one. Casting out devils, getting people healed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But he really did. He used to, you know, I was sick. I was sick all the time. And he just made me so mad. I want to, I asked the ladies up there if they ever got mad enough their husband would kill him. I almost wanted to kill him. I was sick and taking medicine and all this stuff. I had 13 major operations, a whole bunch of stuff. And he'd say, God heal you. He was so obnoxious when he went to the Baptist church. They would run and hide indoors. If they see him coming, they'd go in a room to get away from him. He was telling them, God heal you, God heal you. And he kept telling me, God heal you. Well, I knew God would heal me. You know, I'd heard all the teaching. And the Lord was dealing with me, and I was mad at him. That's what we do. We hear the word, we know it's true, and we get mad at the one that's delivered it. We know it's true. We just don't want to do what the word said. Make a long story short, God healed me. I haven't been to a doctor since for physical problems. That's been in 1972. And I praise God for it because the word works, people. The word works. He said, I am the God that healeth thee.
Amen.
He said, I'll deliver those that call upon me.
Amen.
Didn't he? He said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And he said, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that there's name not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. That tells me that my authority comes from the throne room of God where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, where Jesus Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, and every demon of hell, Satan included, is under my feet. Because I'm in the body of Christ, aren't you? I'm part of His body. He said, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Man, what else do we need? What else do we need? I'm telling you, we need to walk in that authority. We need to take it. We need, you know, you need to put, when I first got into deliverance, I put scriptures all over my house. About those construction paper. And I'd write down my scripture, and I'd stick it up. And I'd put it up the stairs, up in the bathroom, the kitchen, on my refrigerator. I had a real estate man came to my house one time. He said, Miss Coffey, I feel like I've been to church. And I know what he's talking about. He said, everywhere I look, you've got the scriptures. I said, well, I need them. Don't you? So He's given us authority, and we need to obey, walk in it and hear Him. Over in Ephesians, I'm kind of hurrying so we can, because I got a whole other page of scriptures I want to use after I get you built up and up in the heavenlies with me and knowing that the devil's got to go. In Ephesians 3 and verse 9, He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has He hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In fact, He's saying, hey, tell them you know who you are and you know who they are and they are under your feet. And instead, we're most of the time under their feet. And God says, rise up and take your authority and drive him out of your house. Drive him out of your family. Drive him out of your life and out of your body.
Amen.
And then over in Ephesians 2, He said, and has raised us up, in verse 6, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, when you're doing deliverance, or when you're praying for the sick, or whatever you're praying for, if you'll remember where you are, God has given us authority. And I hear prayer, people praying for God to do it. Well, I know God's got to do it, but He's already done it. And what we've got to do is say, hey, you don't have a right. You're trespassing. And we need to run them off. But you know, it's work. And do you know, we was talking about going to the enemy's camp, taking back. The devil's not going to turn it loose easy. And you're going to have to take it by violence. And you're going to have to, if he's putting pain, do you know pain is a spirit?
Yeah.
Did you know you can bind that thing?
Yeah.
And you can take authority over it, and after you've bound it, you can cast it out of you?
Yeah.
God has given us that kind of authority and power, and it works for you when you believe the Word and that God has given the authority to you.
Yeah.
And I hear people, some lady comes to me and wants me to pray for her, and I pray for her. She had her told back. I didn't realize at the time she had ruptured this, but she had. I prayed for her, and she got relief. And when I left, I said, stand on the Word. The Word works. And she called me, and she told me, she said, you know, said, as many people as I've had pray for me, they have not any of them told me to stand on the Word. I said, well, the Word's what brings healing. The Word is Jesus. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. And so we need to stand on the Word and say, I know I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you don't believe you are, keep repeating this scripture. Put it on a card. Put it in your car. Put it on the refrigerator, if you go to the refrigerator as much as I do. Wherever you go, or if you look in the mirror, or wherever you do, put it up there and say, I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all the works of the enemy, and I have authority over him, and he's under my feet. And then when you do, you will see mighty things happen in the area of praying the Word and tearing down the strongholds over your household and over in your family and in your own life. But you got it. You know where you start? Right here. If you don't defeat the enemy here, you'll never believe you can do it anywhere else.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My microphone. The overcomer is the one that overcomes the works of the enemy in them. Amen. I won't get on that. I touched them a little bit upstairs. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Sometimes I seem to have problems with the microphone. I'm rambunctious, I guess. Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
am I. 2 hours. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Okay. And over in the Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul is writing, and he said, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them. He triumphed over them. And as we said, they're under our feet. And so I was thinking as I was looking at these scriptures, I thought, Lord, if we would just believe those scriptures, we could really run the enemy off. We would really, we know them. See, we millisent the Word. And people get offended sometimes when they say, now listen to me. And they say, I'm listening. I said, but you're not hearing.
Amen.
Listen, not to what I'm saying, but what the Word says. And begin to believe it, that it's for you. I just started out when he convicted me. He didn't. God did. I had to be healed. God healed me by the Word and through deliverance. But mostly I stood on the Word. Ladies, I had migraine headaches, so I took aspirins and things by the bottles full and all the powders and things. Back then they didn't have Tylenol and all that stuff. They just had aspirin. And I literally ate them. And when God began to convict me of it, it didn't mean that it stopped like that. It took the Word repeated over and over again, saying, devil, no, the Word says it. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. I'll tell you this, I was going to my kitchen to get the bottle of aspirin out of the cabinet, and it was up high. And as I reached up there, I heard God say, what are you taking that for? And I said, well, I figured he knew I had a headache, but I said, I got a headache. And I had a tremendous headache. I had a migraine headache. And so I was convicted right then. I'm not trying to, what I want you to see is the Word works, okay? I'm not telling you can do whatever you want to, however you want to, but I'm telling you don't have to. You don't have to be tormented by spirits. You don't have to be tormented by fear. You don't have to be tormented by anything. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so when we believe that and take that authority, but when I put that bottle back up there, see, I didn't know that I shouldn't go lie down because my head hurt. I went to lie down on the couch. And I stretched out on the couch, and Jim came in from work, and he walked across the floor, and I was screaming at him, "Don't make so much noise." He was walking just real comfortable. My head was just throbbing. But it don't, see, I've learned since then that if the devil tells me I've got the flu, I said, "Okay, hide and watch. I'm going to get me something to eat." You know, you don't want anything to eat, so I go get something to eat. So I do right the opposite of what the natural mind will tell you to do. I say, "Lord, this is what your word said. You said I'm an overcomer. You give me authority. I'm telling you this." Even in deliverance, you do it. You stand on the word and you say, when the devil says, "Go out," and I tell people when they say, "Go out," he went out and got drunk. I said, "What'd you do that for?" "Well, the devil told me to." I said, "What'd you obey the devil for?"
Amen.
And so when the enemy told me he was going to kill me, I was laying on the couch. He said, "I'm going to kill you." And I really thought he was because my head hurt so bad. And you know what I did? And this came from the Lord. It didn't come from me because I couldn't. My head hurt too bad. I started laughing. And I laughed. And it hurt to laugh. But I laughed. And you know that thing just... Would you believe I've never had another one?
Praise the Lord.
Never. And it was God's word. I said to the devil when he told me that, I said, "Well, go ahead and kill him if you can." And I'll tell God you sent me. But I started laughing. I thought it was funny. I figured, you know, he told me I was going to have a stroke and all this. See, we listen to the lies of the devil.
Amen.
Instead of listening to what the word says. So he tells us here he's already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And so we need to start. Let me tell you the difference in warfare and prayer. Can I tell you that? I'm sure you know. But I just want to put it on tape so I can listen to it again. I can hear it. Prayer is talking to the Father.
Amen.
It's praying to the Father and interceding and whatever your petitions are. But as I said, I always like to quote the word, "Father, this is what the word says." And the word says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." I say, "Liver, bless the Lord. Heart, bless the Lord. Blood, bless the Lord. You bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything within me, praise the Lord." We talk to the Father in prayer. And whether you're going to him like Santa Claus, you know, whatever. I'm just telling you what I feel. If you want to get mad at me, that's fine too. And God forgive you, and I'll forgive you. But warfare is talking to the devil.
Amen.
And I hear people get it mixed. He's given us authority over the devil, and when I speak to the devil, I speak to him.
Amen.
I said, "Satan, you have no part in the lot here.
Hallelujah.
You get out of this place. I'm a blood-bought redeemer. God gave me authority over you. I'm blood-bought, redeemed, and paid for, sanctified, justified, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have no right to me. Get out of here in the name of Jesus." But you've got to talk to the devil when you're doing warfare, and you talk to God when you're praying.
Right.
And don't get them mixed. Because, I've seen people in deliverance when spirits would say, "Which one of these demons, which one of us do you want? This one's calling this one's calling that one, that one's calling that one, that one's calling..." Yeah, everybody's calling something different. The demons are even confused. So we've got to be specific. We've got to pray the word. We've got to stand on that word. And we've got to believe that word. And when we're doing the warfare, we begin to bind. Jesus Christ gave us authority. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood, but what? Principalities. The word says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." See, I was telling you all these scriptures to tell you to be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. You see, it's not me, it's Him. It's not you, it's Him, but it's Him in you doing the work. And He said, "I gave you authority. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Sometimes I don't have time to go put on all the armor. I just say, "Lord, cover me with the blood of Jesus, station angels around me." And I pray. Because I call upon the angels of the Lord, and I'm going to give you some scriptures on that too, because they are weapons to use against the devil. And they obey the word of God. They hearken unto the word of God. And God's given us the authority to use them. I'll give you that scripture in a minute. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." We are fighting the enemy. We're not fighting flesh and blood. And sometimes when we're talking to people, I'll try to remember to say, hey, now if I'm calling this out of you, I'm not saying this about you. I'm talking to a spirit in you. And so we're not fighting flesh and blood. Most of the time we fight flesh and blood. Because it's just the way we are. And that's what the devil likes. But we've got to remember that we're fighting an unseen enemy.
Amen.
And he is around about us. Because we don't drive him off.
Crazy.
I'll tell you something. Tim and I started over here. And we fought demons all the way over here. I wish you'd kept your demons over here. I thought when we came across the bridge, coming out of Tennessee into Arkansas, we were going to leave all those spirits over there. Well, we had a familiar spirit came in the car. We couldn't get that thing out. And we'd get him out, and he'd come back and get it. I said, Jim, hurt and get us to the bridge. We'll get across. They can't go across the bridge. Well, he didn't. He didn't. I promise you, that thing didn't come across the bridge with us. But all the way over here, we just had first one after the other coming through the car. And I said, Jim, I think I'd rather go back and just fight one than all the ones we've been. He said, how do you know? Well, y'all won't like this, but I discerned a lot of spirits by the smell. And the Lord tells me, has told me what they are. And so I know what we were fighting. And I won't tell you what all got in our car. But we were just one. We'd get rid of one and another would come. And we'd get rid of him. We'd drive a little while and be nice. And then here come another one. And I said, Jim, they're checking us out. And I said, we're not talking about anything they're going to hear because we were listening to music on our stereo. And I was trying to go to sleep, but I couldn't go to sleep because the things that seemed like they would just get right up in my face and puff right in my face. And we'd run them out. But so you've got to recognize the fact that we are fighting a spiritual battle. And you can't fight it in the flesh. You've got to fight it in the spirit. And you do that by taking your authority. You take it what the Word says. You know, when the Lord put me in deliverance, He gave me a scripture that I really didn't understand. It's over in Jeremiah chapter 1. At the time He gave it to me, I didn't understand it, but I learned real fast what He meant. In Jeremiah, in chapter 1, in verse 8, He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And He's talking to Jeremiah, but the Lord gave me a verse of this scripture for me. And He said, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. He's telling Jeremiah, set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. And I didn't realize that was a deliverance scripture when the Lord first gave it to me. But people, that's a deliverance scripture. He said, I've set you over the nations. We're dealing with nations of demons. You say, I don't want to hear about this. You better learn how to use the name of Jesus on them. Because we're in a war. Name the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have authority. But if you don't know the Lord, you won't have any authority over them. And there was a tape that the men had at the men's conference that I listened to. I don't even remember the brother's name. He's talking about the warfare that came on his land. And he didn't know the Lord. And I think at that time, I just don't remember all about it. But the Lord began to talk to me about it as he was talking, describing what he saw. And he said, that's the kind of battle you're going to have in the end time. You're not only going to be fighting men, but you're going to be fighting demonic forces that come in the shape of men. And you've got to learn to discern which is which. And you've got to learn to take authority over men and to defeat them. He was talking to me. Maybe that doesn't appeal. It doesn't appeal to me either. But if I've got to do it, I want to know how.
Amen.
And I believe that we're going to see battles, and God is wanting us to start doing the warfare.
Amen.
Taking it, not be talkers of the spiritual warfare, but be doing it. You see, He gave us that authority, and your authority works according to what you believe about it. And I shared this with you, and I shared this before here, but I'll share it again. Had a lady in our church that we were doing some deliverance on, and her body People, it had to be demonic. There's no way a human's body could get in the shape, some of the shapes that she would get in. And I'd seen her turn her head totally backwards. There's no way a human could do it. I'd seen her get wrapped up and twisted like a snake on the floor. And the only way we could get her free from it would be to bind. But at that time, I didn't know anything about binding and loosing. And the Lord woke me up one morning and began to talk to me about Matthew 16:19. And he just quoted the scripture to me. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is loose. And of course, I was like everybody else. I know that. I read it. I know that. And it got quiet. And I still lying in bed. And he said, I said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose is loose. And I said, yeah, Lord, I hear you. You know, getting real spiritual now. I hear you. And he said to me again, I said to you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I said, Lord, I got your message. I get up and I will get my Bible and we'll see what you're telling me. And I got up and I went into the inn. I got my Bible and I turned to Matthew 16:19. And he began to show me. He said, this works according to who I am to you. Who you believe I am. How much faith you have in me. And so I backed up and I read 13 through 19, and he was asking Peter, who do men say that I am? And who do these say? And, so, and then he said to Peter, but who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, your authority works according to who I am to you. Well, he was preparing me for a phone call I got just a little while after that from a lady that her daughter was holding the phone up to her ear, the same lady that I was telling about. And she said, Mildred, help me. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I don't know. I can't get my body straight. And she said, her daughter was holding the phone. She said, would you pray? And I said, yeah, I'll bind that thing. So God prepared me to bind the spirit in her. And when I bound her, as I continued to bind, and I didn't just say, I bind you in Jesus' name, walk off. I continued to bind until she was saying, I'm coming loose. It's coming loose. It's coming loose. And then she said, praise the Lord, I'm free. And I bound that thing. And she got straightened out in her body. And that's when God began to teach me that binding works. And you bind and you bind and you bind until it does, until it's done. See, I don't believe in just speaking it and it's done. Amen. I speak it until it's done.
Amen.
Because that's the way I believe. And I've seen it work that way. And so he was telling us here that we're going to tear down the kingdoms. We're going to root out and we're going to pull down and destroy. And we're going to plant. Now, verse 12 is another verse that he gave me, and I believe it with all my heart. He said, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. Well, verse 11, he's talking about the rod of an almond tree. But he said to Jeremiah, I said, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. See, it's God's word that God performs. When I speak it, the Lord gave me a scripture over in 1 Samuel one time, and he said to Samuel, he said that he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And I thought, man, that's good, Lord. And he said, but you know what Samuel was speaking? He was speaking what I told him.
Amen.
And so he speaks, he performs his word. He hastens his word to perform it. And I say, Lord, you watch over your word to perform it. And I go before the Father, and I take that scripture over in Isaiah. He says, come, let us reason together. And I say, Lord, you said, come, reason. And you said, put you in remembrance. I said, God, I know you know what your word says, but I want you to know that I know what it says. And I'm expecting you to do what you said you'd do in your word. He hastens his word to perform it. When I'm speaking it in faith, believing, he does it. He performs his word. And that's why I quote the word when I pray. Because it builds faith in me. Why does faith come? By hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what happens is you believe what comes out of your mouth more than you believe what comes out of my mouth. And I believe what comes out of my mouth more than what comes out of your mouth. It's what I'm speaking that my ears hear that I believe. I believe it works and I've seen it work. And God works. He hastens his word to perform it. 2 Corinthians, all these scriptures are familiar, and I know, Lord, that I'm not going to have time to do all that. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to start pulling down strongholds. We need to go after the devil in the heavenlies, attack him in the heavens. We need to cut off the power from Satan himself and to the strongholds and loose call for the angels of the Lord. The Word tells us, which I'm not going to get to in Revelation 12, 7 through whatever, that Michael, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels warred against Satan and his angels. So why do we not, and over in Daniel, it tells us that Michael is the children of Israel's angel. Daniel 10. I forgot what verse. I got it over there. But if Michael was warring for the children of Israel, didn't he come and help the angel that was coming to Daniel with answer to his prayer? Remember the scripture? Well, I said to the Lord, Lord, I know Michael cast out Satan and his angels out of heaven. And I said, Lord, send your angels into the heavens to tear down the stronghold. Tear down the stronghold over the church. Tear it down over the city, but tear it down over our families. What's the stronghold over your family? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it perversion? Is it murder? Whatever it is, you can see it as you look back at the sins of the fathers and see what sin is working, what curse is working, and go after. See, we've been going after the root, the top parts of the curses instead of the root. So let's tear down the stronghold. Let's get the ruler out, break his hold over our families, and deliver our kids.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And start binding the spirits. Bind the spirits of, if your kids are still in your house, you have authority over them. I don't care if they're 50. I got a son that's 52. When he gets in trouble, you know where he goes? To mama's house, doesn't he? He comes home. He knows about warfare. He's been in it. He's done deliverance. He knows about it. And he'll come over and he'll come, wherever he is, he comes back home because he knows there's peace in that house, and he knows that we do. Now, they don't get too big or too old for me to do deliverance on them. I sat there with him one night. I sat there with him one night, and he was sitting in a recliner, and I was sitting on the couch. And he was an alcoholic. That's a nice word. He was a drunk. Well, he drank. I don't know where I really never saw him drunk, so I can't say that. But I know he drank. He drank beer. I don't know what else he drank. But I said, I'm going to get you free from that. We're going to break that curse over you. And I broke that alcoholic curse that came from my father and Jim's brothers and so forth. And he said, Mother, he said, call a spirit of blood out of me. I said, okay. Well, I said, you spirit of blood wiser, you come out of him. And he delivered from it. He did. And I said, now, son, tell me what else you drink. And we were doing deliverance. Jim had gone to bed. He had to get up early, and we didn't. So we just sat there, and I was doing deliverance on him until I just finally get out. And I said, we'll continue this tomorrow night. Because the Word works, and we had authority over him in our house. And I'll tell you something else. I hear people say, well, I can't. My kids bring this in, and my kids bring that in. Let me tell you something. My kid was 50-something. Well, he wasn't that old when he came back to us the first time. And I said, you can come to my house, but your garbage can't. Not one piece of it. You're not smoking in my house. You're not bringing your drugs in here. You're not bringing anything in here. This is my house. And I'm telling you, he didn't. And I'm telling you, it's time we took our authority and help our kids. Help them. You know, my husband has always said this, and I believe it was on my heart. He says, you know, kids are going to see how far they can push you.
Amen.
And when they really want you to take authority. They want you to show them you care enough to take authority over them. Oh, this is one of the, I've left out quite a few scriptures. Oh, by the way, Psalms 149 says, in verse 6 through 9 says, we'll bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. And he says, this is a privilege. The binding and loosing is a privilege that God has given his people.
Amen.
The saints. Aren't you a saint?
Yes.
Set apart unto God. Sure we are. And God's given us that privilege. Over in Ezekiel, I want to show you this 100 souls. I've told it over here. It works in witchcraft. And I wanted to go against, show you some of these ruler spirits. And witchcraft is something that people, and Satanism, that a lot of people don't believe this has any effect on them. Mighty quiet. You mean you don't ever get cursed? You don't ever have problems? And you don't? Well, let me show you something. I've been teaching them from this quite a long time on the soul. When I started teaching on the soul, Ben Fragment and removed and soul ties and so forth. But let me show you something the Lord showed me in this. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 18, he says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? This scripture says that the enemy, and this is talking about women, and I wondered if, I come to the conclusion a lot of times when we see the word women that God is talking maybe about the church, you can talk to the Lord about it. I've been doing a lot of talking to him about it because I just get so tired of women being to blame for everything. Because I am one. And so I wonder if this is not a lot of what he's talking about. But I want to say that regardless right here, listen to this. He said, will you hunt the soul of my people? It didn't say the souls of the world. It's talking about God's people.
Amen.
And the enemy attacks the soul of God's people. And over Psalm 7, verse 2, it says that the soul was fragment and torn when there was none to deliver. But I'm not going into that. That's not the way I'm going. I want you to see this. He said, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? Does that mean that they might kill them, the people that they remove the souls? Think about it. This is what the Lord was showing me about this. See, we've been fighting death on people, and we go after death, but we hadn't been going after witchcraft that sent the curse upon them.
Yes.
And he said, will you pollute me among my people? Still talking about his people. For handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die. There are people that are so tormented in nursing homes and all of this that are just there. They're existing. They're prisoners in their own body.
Amen.
And he said, here, you're keeping them alive. What does that do? It destroys a lot of faith in people. It causes problems in the family, the whole nine yards, and the enemy uses that to work. So, well, I have a sister in a nursing home. I know what I'm talking about. She's there, but she's not there.
Amen.
You say, well, why don't you get her delivered? Because they wouldn't let me. When I tried to do deliverance on her, you leave her alone. You get out of here. You've done gone off and, you know, left field. They didn't know Jesus. They knew about him, but they didn't know him. It was her family. It was my nieces and nephews. But this is what I'm telling you. She is existing. They've had to take a leg off. They have to feed her. Is that living?
No.
You think God wants that? No. I'm not through yet. I will. Did I get ahead? I'll back up. Well, I said what I want to say on that. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come into him? Will you pollute me among my people for handful of barley and for pieces of bread to slay us? See, in witchcraft, they do this for money. And can I throw this out without y'all getting mad at me? Are the churches watering down the word?
Yes.
Because they don't want... It's the same as doing... sending curses for money, because if I preach the truth, they won't give, they'll leave the church, and we can't keep the church going. Let me tell you something. We got down to there's seven in our church, and while we were down to seven in our church, the Lord gave us a baby grand piano. He kept the church going. He supplied every need in the church. We don't have any problems with the money. We've got excess money in the bank right now. We maybe have 12 if everybody's there right now. See, deliverance separates and divides. It multiplies by dividing. It adds by subtracting sometimes. Because people don't want you to see their demons.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, good grief. You see mine, you don't think I'm not going to see yours? But I keep this light because really it's really serious business. But, you know, you have to keep it light because if you didn't, you'd get so loaded down you would be no less good to anyone. I can enjoy deliverance. It's music to my ear to hear them scream, holler, and kick. I tell them they sing in my songs. A lot of people say, don't let them do that. Well, I'm not doing it in the start with. God is doing it. The power of God is doing it to start with. And anyways, what were you talking about that I missed?
The rest of that 19.
And will you pollute me among my people for a handful of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die? Okay. And to save souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. People are dying that shouldn't die, and people are being kept alive that should die.
Amen.
People are dying before their time for the simple reason that they don't believe the devil can do anything to them.
Amen.
And they're blaming God for it.
Amen.
Over in, where is it? In Hebrews, it says that Jesus had defeated, overcame everything, but was it death? And he said, put everything under his feet, but death? And death is a spirit. It is.
Yes.
And he's given us authority. And we need to start acting like we know our authority and using it. So, the enemy, and this, if the church is not teaching the full count, whole counsel of God and teaching deliverance and that, you know, you can get a unclean or a demon. It's a demon. It's not a spirit. I heard someone say Holy Spirit when you're talking about the Holy Ghost, and talk about say demons when you're talking about demons, so we know what you're talking about. People have demons.
Amen.
And I haven't seen anybody yet don't have some.
Amen.
Jesus is the only one I know that never had demons.
Amen.
But because of finances, sometimes we're afraid to speak the truth. And we're afraid we'll offend. But you know, I always, when I read the accounts of Jesus, he either caused a riot, they tried to stone him, or he would cause a revival. He did. And you see, God protected him, and you know God will take care of you.
Amen.
Did you know that God will meet every need you have when you obey his word? When you stop playing church and start being real.
Amen.
I am so tired of seeing people that know, have truth, and have knowledge and won't use it.
Amen.
And God forgive us, because we have all done it. And God's saying, hey, listen to me, obey me, and walk in my word, and I will perform it.
Amen.
When we started off here last night, I said I was so tired of programs and not seeing the power of God. And when we all get in one accord and begin to believe God, we're going to see God do mighty things.
Amen.
I was telling ladies upstairs, get that tape of Shirley Smith back there. I think she talked a little bit on it about the gold dust that came during the praise and worship, and the things they were seeing as they were tearing down strongholds over different countries. We sat up to 2 o'clock that night after it was over. After the meeting was over, she and I and her husband, and we just had a glorious time talking about the things of what God was doing. And God wants us to be obedient to his word. And he said, wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. And you know, I said I was going to give you a spirit. This is I've dealt with this spirit. It's that hunts souls, and it works with a witch spirit. And it has, when it talks about the pouches on the arms and so forth, we have literally had to say, Father, split those pouches on that arm and loose the souls that thing has collected, and return the souls to the people where it's been taken. You say, man, I don't believe that. That's okay. Come to my church sometime, I'll show you some things that we've run into. But we have seen God free people from this spirit. We've seen him set them free from it. And that thing is, because people won't admit that it's there, I got kicked out of the mission one time talking about that. I was teaching in a mission. And they kicked me out because they said, the man that was running, they said, you know, Mildred, I really think this Sister Coffee, you need, ought to go and rest. We were going down there 3 or 4 times a week. I was going twice, and Jim and I were going together at night. And what happened was, this man didn't even believe in God. He asked my son one time, he said, do you really believe there's a God? Well, he said, do you really believe there's a God? What was happening was, I hid a spirit in him. And the one that comes against me the hardest usually is somebody that's got that bitter spirit that I mentioned. But that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying to you is, people, we need to start taking authority over these things. We need to start binding and rebuking witchcraft and Satanism. We need to come against Satan's power. You've got Satanists all around us. It's a religion. That's the one that is behind everything that's happening right now. And yet we're sitting here asleep, and we're fighting one another or doctrines instead of saying, hey, Father, show me so I can go against the enemy. And that is trying to destroy everybody and everything. You know, I believe God doesn't want us sick. I believe He wants us to walk healthy, and that the world will look at us and rejoice. See you and say, what's wrong with you guys? Where did you get that? And we just rejoice because they're looking. They're not seeing us. They're seeing what God did in us. And God doesn't want us walking around with all these problems. He wants us to overcome them. And we've got to let the world see that God is God, and He's real, and He's waiting on somebody to believe Him. Amen? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. I had Apollyon, Nimrod, which is confusion, brings confusion. Ahab and Jezebel. I just love to get on Ahab because everybody else preaches against Jezebel. But Python, which is spirits of divination. But can I do one more and then we'll quit?
Yes.
Revelation chapter 16. If you don't bind anything else, bind these spirits. In Revelation 16 and verse 13, the scripture says, then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, now the mouth of the beast, and now the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I believe that we need to bind the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. I want to show you something. That's the false trinity.
Yes.
You've the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You've got the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Out of the mouth of those three are demons. It says, like frogs. And over in the Old Testament, it talks about frogs are unclean, right? It also said they're unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth. Jesus said His words were spirit and they were life. Proverbs says that the power in the tongue brings death or life. I believe those three spirits right there, those spirits that are coming out of their mouth are words that God's people have believed. You need to bind the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet and bind their mouth. The scripture tells us over in 12 that the water that came out of the false prophet's mouth, which we know is words. Well, if the words are coming out of the false prophet, you better believe they're coming out of the dragon and the beast, and they're deceiving God's people.
Amen.
The unclean spirits. I was preaching on this one night in our church, and the Lord began to just show me that what was coming out of their mouth was words that people are receiving. And we need to come against those three spirits and bind their mouth and the words they've spoken. And really, I did deliverance that night on the curses that had come through the mouth of the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon against people that people had received them. And we mentioned upstairs to some of the women that had been hurt by the words of people that don't believe.
Amen.
That literally curse them. So we really need to do our warfare in the binding and loosing. And I've already got 5 minutes to do deliverance.
No, you've got more
than that. Oh, okay. So we're going to do deliverance for those that want deliverance. But people, get into the battle. Don't be speaking the word, but just speaking it only, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, but do it and speak it and watch God perform His word. Praise the Lord. You want to do deliverance? Come on. Come on now. I'm going to let Jim do the deliverance. Praise the Lord. Go after the beast. Bind the beast and the false prophet and the dragon and the words. If there's some of the spirit. Praise you.
I had the man forgive anyone that had hurt or harmed them, or they thought they had, even if they thought they had. I want you to do the same thing right now. Forgive anyone. Unforgiveness stops deliverance completely. won't work at all if you're holding unforgiveness. You just might as well understand that to begin with. You're not going to get anything if you're holding unforgiveness against anyone. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we forgive right now. We forgive every person that's damaged us in any manner, our thoughts, our body, our property, any way, even that we thought, if they have not. But we hold unforgiveness now, right now, Father. We forgive. Now, I want you to name under your breath those that you need to forgive right now if you want deliverance. Because this is the way that will work. I forgive right now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the hurt and harmed, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you hear us when we pray. And I speak to the devil right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind the unbelief in every person here. I bind spirits of unbelief in every person here right now, in Jesus' name. For we do believe. We're believers. We stand on the Word, and we believe the Word to be the infallible Word of God. It was written for me and for you. And in the name of Jesus, we receive that Word, and we stand on it, and we will not be walk in unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Now, I come against the beast. I cast out that beast and the words of the beast in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cast out the false prophet also, the words of that false prophet. He's whispering in your ear right today. In the name of Jesus, I bind and cast out the false prophet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the authority we come in and walk in this day, and we will not receive your words, your thoughts, and the patterns that you're putting in my mind and the minds of this people this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Now come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind the false prophet. I bind the beast. In the name of the Lord Jesus and all His words, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over the beast in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I bind His words and I cast them down, and I cast the words from you in the name of Jesus, all the words that have been spoken against you, words that have come against you, words of hurt and harm in Jesus' name. I bind the dragon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His words in Jesus' name, and the words that have hurt and harmed you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I come against that holy, unholy Trinity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unholy Trinity in Jesus' name. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And I bind their power over you, and I cast out any one of them or all of them have come against you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of that. Come out in Jesus' name. You know you have to go. You know you're a liar. And I stand in the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's who I come in His power, and I command you to loose this people in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name, I bind the witchcraft. I bind witchcraft and cast out. I cast out all the witchcraft, the curses that are loosed against you by the witches, by the wizards, and those who follow after Satan and his power. I cast down curses in the name of Jesus. Let them go, people. You don't want these things. Breathe hard, breathe deep, and blow them out. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you have no place here. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every curse of witchcraft, and every curse of Satan's curse, in the name of Jesus, and all the divination, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of divination, and I cast that spirit of divination out, the spirit of control, mind control, in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the mind control, all rebellion. Rebellion, you are not of the Lord and you have to go. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, move, move. Come on out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you're a liar, you're a thief, and you have no right here. You have no right here in the name of Jesus. Now come out, turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to do something. Take a deep breath with me. Blow it out. Do another one. Get them moving. Blow it out. One more. Devil, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cast out harlotry in the name of Jesus, that spirit of harlotry in the name of Jesus, the sexual spirits. I come against fornication, and I cast out fornication. I cast out adultery in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cast out perversion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're of your father the devil, and you cannot stay. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come out. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that Babylonian spirit, in the name of Jesus, has to go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I blind the spirit of pride. Pride. You can't stay. You're the enemy of God. That was the first thing that he said he hated in Proverbs in the 6th chapter, in the verse 16. That's the first thing he named was pride. God hates pride. Pride has no place in God's people. Come out, pride. Come out in Jesus' name. Ego. Ego. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You spirits of pride and ego. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. You can't stay. You can't stay. That is deceiver. That great deceiver of the brethren. I cast him out in Jesus' name. He has no place. The liar, that lying spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. That Leviathan spirit. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit of Delilah. Spirit of Delilah. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Delilah. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. All the seduction. All that seduction. Come out. Spirits of seduction. You're your father, the devil. Come out. Come out. We'll not receive you. We'll not have you in our body any longer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The seducing, all the seducers in the name of Jesus. You've got to go in the name of Jesus. Spiritual depression. It's all depression. Spiritual depression. Come out. Come on out. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Anger. Spiritual anger. In the name of Jesus. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. Fear. That's one of the worst things in the world, fear. You don't realize how bad fear is. I bind spirits of fear over every person here in this place right now. I take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I bind those spirits of fear, those that freeze you, those that keep you from moving in the Word of the Lord, because there are fears within your body, even fears that you are not aware of. I take authority and bind every fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then I release them from your body and cast them out in Jesus' name. Come out, fear. Fear. Come out of God's people. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You will not stop God's work any longer. Fear. You have to go. Come out. Come out. Come on out. Don't be afraid to let them go. Everybody else has got it anyhow. Don't worry about what they're thinking around about you. There's spirits all over this place, and you have no right here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the fear. All the fear. In Jesus' name. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Spirits of blasphemy. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Blasphemy. And defeat. Spirits of defeat. You'll not defeat God's people. We're not defeated. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Come out. Come on out. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Defeat. Defeat all the joy stealers. The joy stealers. In the name of Jesus. You want that one? Anybody want to hold on to the joy stealer? Oh, we want him to go. Come on out. The joy stealer. Let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Move. Move. Move in Jesus' name. All joy stealers. In Jesus' name. You can't stay. You can't stay. You have no rights here. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mind control. Spirits of mind control. I cast down mind control and I cast them out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there's a spirit called sin. I cast out the spirit of sin in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Sin. Spirit of sin in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I cast down that spirit of sin and cast him out. And sin and iniquity in the name of the Lord Jesus. The lawlessness. The lawlessness, the breaking of God's word and being unlawful to God in the name of Jesus. I bind you and cast you out. Unbelief. I come against unbelief again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Spirits of unbelief. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of disobedience. disobedience. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I come against disobedience. Disobedient to God's word. In the name of Jesus. Disobedient to the command of God. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Destruction. That old Apollyon spirit. Come out. Come out. All the destruction. Destruction. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of destruction. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Spirits of destruction. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Your name is Apollyon. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. I cast out Abaddon, the destroyer, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Abaddon, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Beelzebub, Beelzebub, I throw cast you down in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Come against Jezebel. Jezebel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus and Ahab, I bind and cast down Ahab's spirits in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. These people want to be free, and you will not hinder it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Ahab and Jezebel and Nimrod, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All that confusion. Confusion. You've got to go. In the name of Jesus, spirits of confusion, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. Nimrod, you can't stay. That hunter of souls that we just heard about and read about in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel. Come out, hunter of souls. Hunter of souls. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break soul ties between you and your parents, your mother and your father. Evil soul ties that would hinder you and receive evil from one another, the parents to children, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the power of those soul ties, those evil soul ties, in Jesus' name, and I release you from the bondage, everyone in the sound of my voice, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the evil soul tie, in Jesus' name, from parents, mothers, and fathers, from relatives, in the name of the Lord Jesus, from children, from your children in the name of the Lord Jesus. Evil soul ties from your children in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to restore the soul of this people. Bring back that portion that has been fragmented and removed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you. Send your angels to release those souls from wherever they've been placed, from earthen jars or bottles or hidden places, wherever they are, Lord, you know. In Jesus' name, I ask you to restore the souls of this people this night, this afternoon, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I praise you and I thank you for doing a mighty work in restoration of souls in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast out disease in the name of the Lord Jesus. I come against sickness, heart attacks, pain. I come against spirit of pain. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, pain. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Pain. Spirits of pain. In Jesus' name. Anybody have something you'd like for me to call? Any sickness or anything like this? Praise the Lord. I come against the accuser of the brethren. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind that spirit of accuser of the brethren, that demonic power in Jesus' name. Satan himself, in the name of the Lord Jesus, is the accuser of the brethren. And I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all the accusations, false accusations in Jesus' name. I cast you down and cast you out. You're under our feet. You've been defeated. You can't stay. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over you. I take authority over every spirit that's left in every person here. According to the Word of God, I bind those spirits in every person here. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come against those eyes, those spirit that comes against your eyes in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everyone here who has eye problems in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the spirit of blindness that tries to blind your eyes, cause you to wear these things here, these glasses, in the name of Jesus. And I bind those spirits that blind your eyes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for deliverance. It is of you, Lord. It is not we ourselves. We have no authority and power to set anybody free, but only by believing in your word. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for releasing people from bondage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but for the deliverance that has come forth this day in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits that are left and every person here, those that did not leave, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind them and render them powerless right now in Jesus' name. They'll not harass during the day and night, Father. They'll not stop their hearing from the word as it comes forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind backlash from deliverance and retaliation from the enemy that comes against us for having sat in deliverance. I ask, Father, that you cleanse this church, this building completely from one end to the other, from every demon that was cast out, and any demons that are loose in this place right now, you would cleanse this building and carry them to the pit or wherever you desire, Lord, and release them from here that they'll not come back to harass anyone. We praise you and we thank you. We give you the glory for deliverance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pray over food. Let's all stand. Those that are still working, we'll let them continue to work. Everybody else, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for providing a place that we can come together and hear the word and receive the word, Father. We thank you for a spiritual food that has come forth. We pray that it has been received all from all the preachers that have spoken and those that are yet to speak. But we thank you for physical food that has been prepared for us. We ask blessing upon those who have worked so diligently to prepare the food, the tables, to wash the dishes and to make it convenient that we may have food to eat for our bodies. We praise you and we thank you. We set it apart that it will nourish and strengthen us and accomplish all that we desire that this food do within us. I bind any enemy that would try to attack us through the food in the name of Jesus, and there will be no impurity found in it in any manner, Father, for it is of you, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.